The other thing I wanted to mention is, you may remember a few months ago we had this series about social justice, and we had a forum, we had lots of feedback throughout that series and at that forum, and that report is now up online. It took us a while to kind of collate all the information that came back. Thank you everybody for giving us input there. So that's going up online pretty much as we speak. You can check that out. And then this week I'll be sending an email out to the whole church with a link to it as well, just explaining one or two things and talking about some next steps and that kind of thing. So do look out for that. Okay, so we're going to look at a particular passage in Matthew this morning where Jesus asks us to do something challenging. We'll talk about what that is in a moment. But he asked us to do it in a repetitive kind of way. He asked us to do something again and again and again. And doing things again and again and again can be pretty tricky, right? So, for instance, push-ups, that's a hard one, right? You can do whatever. I would expect most people can do one push-up. Who can do one push-up? No? Yeah, most people. Who can do three push-ups? Who would like to prove that? Well, you don't have to. Okay, so we've got some people. Okay, anybody want to prove it? Okay, so yeah, come up and give us, how many push-ups can you do? Let's give you guys a round of applause. You can run up to the front. You can run. Can you run as well? Yeah, because you're obviously very fit. Let's see how many push-ups you got. Okay, anybody want to do push-ups here? Let's go. Pretty good. That's very impressive. Very impressive. Excellent. Yeah, a bit lower. Yeah, okay. Okay, that's good. Okay, you proved your point. It's okay, you go. Excellent. If you got up to about 100, 400, it gets a little trickier. Most of us would be opting out at that point. I won't tell you how many I can do. But it's, certainly not in the hundreds. Here's another thing like this. Has anybody ever played this game, Kadima? Have you ever played this at the beach? Actually, we play this sometimes. Have you ever played this game where it's a very simple game, you just hit the ball back and forth to each other like this and see how many you can do? Okay, like that. So, does anybody want to win $5 this morning? Anybody want to win? Okay, so if you want to win $5, here's the deal. If you're under the age of, let's say, 12, you have to partner with an adult. Okay, so get a partner, an adult partner, and come up here, and you are going to take the first three couples that come up, okay? And you can play, have a playoff. Okay, well, you guys just did push-ups, so I'm not going to let you guys do it. If you did push-up, there's anybody else? We've got another, we need one more adult. Yeah, okay. So you guys just wait, okay? You can do it afterwards, we'll do that one at the end. Okay, I think we've got plenty of people here. Right, so we've got another bat. So, who's up first? That's a bat. What would you call it? A padlock? Okay, sorry. Bats are baseball, right? So let's see how many you can do. All right? We'll give you this. Let me just to inspire you. Just inspire you. That is the $5, okay? So that should inspire you, right? Here we go. This is the real thing now. 4, 5. Okay, you can carry on. We'll give you 6 even though here's time. Okay, 6 is the record at the moment. Okay, so next up, round of applause for those guys. It looks actually a lot easier than it really is. It's really managed to lock onto the stage. That's great, thank you. Okay, so we're trying to beat 6. You can slow up. Let's see how we go.
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's $5. Okay, that was kind of 8. Let's say 8. Okay, great. The winners so far. We have one more. Now, Mark, were you walking up there?
Yeah.
I think you were. So there's his mark. So okay. Anybody want to have a go? Yes, sir. We're going to have one more. You've got to be 8. We could have 2 adults if you wanted. But this guy's going to play. So now, what's your name? Caleb. And you're going to play here with Ginger, okay? So, and she's really good, so. And she wants the $5 badly, so. Okay, we'll let you off that one because you're just getting to know each other, okay? So, one last go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, unlucky. So who got the 8? Okay, so you can come up and. Who got it? You got the 8. Oh, you played twice, did you? Well, okay, you deserve it.
That's very crafty. That's very crafty.
Okay, you share it. Share it, or if you're really kind, you could put it in the offering later. But no pressure. No pressure on that. No pressure. Okay, so repetitive things can be tricky, right? Most of us can hit the ball back and forward once, twice. That kind of looks easy, but doing the same thing, even a small thing, over and over again, can get tricky. We can think about that in all kinds of aspects of life. So we're going to hear a story now where Jesus talks about something that we are asked to do all the time. And it might seem, in some ways, like a small thing, but if we have to keep on doing it, it's going to get hard. So we see this story, or find this story in Matthew chapter 18, and Megan and Oliver are going to come and read it to us. So let's listen to the story, and at the end of the story, I'm going to ask, what is it that Jesus asked us to do? Okay, so kind of listen for the punchline. Okay, guys, you need a microphone, don't you?
Testing.
Oh, it works.
Okay.
Matthew chapter 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, when my brother sins against me, how many times must I forgive him? Should I forgive him as many as seven times?
Jesus answered, I tell you, you must forgive him more than seven times. You must forgive him even if he does wrong to you 70 times seven. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who decided to collect the money his servants owed him. So the king began to collect his money. One servant owed him several million dollars, but the servant did not have enough money to pay his master, the king. So the master ordered that everything the servant owned should be sold, even though the servant's wife and children. The money would be used to pay the king what the servant owed. But the servant fell on his knees and begged,
Be patient with me. I will pay you everything I owe.
The master felt sorry for his servant, so the master told the servant he did not have to pay. He let the servant go free. Later, that same servant found another servant who owed him a few dollars. The servant grabbed the other servant by around the neck and said, Pay me the money you owe me. The other servant fell on his knees and begged him,
Be patient with me. I will pay you everything I owe.
But the first servant refused to be patient. He threw the other servant in prison until he could pay everything he owed. All the other servants saw what happened. They were very sorry. So they went and told the master all that had happened. And the master called his servant in and said,
You evil servant! You begged me to forget what you owed. So I told you that you did not have to pay anything. I had mercy on you. You should have had the same mercy on the other servant.
The master was very angry, and he put the servant in prison to be punished. The servant had to stay in prison until he could pay everything he owed. This king did what my heavenly father will do to you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart.
Okay, that's great. Thanks, guys. Beautifully read.
Great job.
Thank you. So who can tell me what is the thing that Jesus is asking us to do? Anybody? There's no money for this, by the way.
Forgive,
right. He's asking us to forgive. Okay, so, and what is forgiveness? What does forgiveness mean? What is that? We had an illustration of it in the story, but how would you describe that? Anybody want to say? Anybody else? Okay.
Show mercy.
Show mercy. What do you mean by show mercy?
Give them another chance.
Give them another chance. That's a good point. So, kind of let somebody off. Okay, so, has anybody had anything bad done to them? Has anybody ever done something bad to you? Right? Only a few people. Well, I think you thought that was a rhetorical question. So we've all had bad stuff done to us, right? Every single one of us has had something done to us that has maybe made us cry, maybe hurt us, made us really sad. That may be enemies, right? So people who we know don't like us, or maybe we don't particularly like them. Those kind of people do bad stuff to us. But what about when people we think are our friends do stuff to us? Or maybe brothers and sisters, or parents, or kids, to, you know, sons and daughters? That can be even more hurtful at times, right? So we've all had things happen to us. And Jesus is saying, when stuff like that happens, you need to forgive. Now, how often does Jesus say we need to forgive?
70 times 7.
70 times 7, okay. How many times is that? 70 times 490, right? Yeah, 490, okay? So do you think Jesus means on the 491st time it's okay to not forgive him? Is that the point of the story?
Yes.
We're going to take Jesus really literally. Well, Jesus is using poetic language, right? The number 7 is a very significant number, okay, especially for people in Jesus' time, the Hebrew people in Jesus' time. It's the number of perfection, of completion, it's the number of God. So when Peter says to Jesus, should I forgive 7 times? That's a pretty good question. He's suggesting that Jesus would say 7 times is a good number of times to forgive somebody, because that's a lot of times, right? And it's more time, it sounds like a godly number of times too, and it's more times than the kind of prevailing law required. So the Pharisees, who we've been finding out as we look at the book of Matthew, that Jesus is kind of going above and beyond the good righteousness of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, you need to forgive somebody 3 times, right? 3 times and then you're done. And if you think about it, that's not all that unreasonable, right? Just imagine if somebody does something mean to you, like, they steal a book from you at school or something like that, or steal your lunch, right? They steal your lunch. And you say, okay, it's okay, I forgive you. And then the next day they do it again, right? And it feels like, come on, I mean, okay, I forgive you. They do it the third time. If you forgive them the third time, that's like going above and beyond, right? Because they don't really deserve it. So 3 times is somewhat heroic. So Peter, when he says 7 times, he's kind of going, he's kind of worked out Jesus a little bit. He's thinking, okay, Jesus goes above and beyond. Jesus says something like, unless your righteousness, unless your goodness is even greater than the scribes and the Pharisees. So he's thinking, oh, okay, so let's go for 7. That's a great number. This will impress Jesus, maybe. And Jesus is saying, no, it's not 7. It's 70 times 7. It's like 7 on steroids, right? 70 times 7. It's like ongoing. It's infinite. It's there's no time when we should never forgive anybody. So in other words, something that is way harder than Kadima, right, hitting this ball back and forward, is something that Jesus is asking us to do, to forgive people every time. Now, is forgiveness easy? Who would say forgiveness is easy? Right? You know, forgiveness is easy sometimes, right? Somebody, you know, treads on your toe, bumps into you in the corridor, something like that. You know, so excuse me, oh, you're forgiven, you know, it's okay. But when somebody does something really bad to you, something really mean, it can be very hard to forgive, right? Very hard. But here Jesus is saying that he seems to be getting at the root of forgiveness. He's asking us to do something really difficult, to forgive, but he's connecting it to something else. He's saying that really, to forgive somebody infinitely, forgive somebody again and again and again, is virtually impossible unless you understand that we are forgiven, that we are people who need forgiveness, right? We've all done wrong things too, right? We've all hurt other people, we've done things we shouldn't have done. So Jesus is connecting here our need for forgiveness, the fact that God loves us and forgives us no matter what, to the fact that we need to forgive. In other words, there's this kind of flow of forgiveness. It's like a river. You're either in the river or you're not. You're either forgiving and receiving forgiveness, or you're not forgiving and you're not receiving forgiveness. You can't be kind of in and out. It's either we get it or we don't. So if we know that we're forgiven and we understand that, it sort of softens our heart, and we understand that God is love, and therefore we are going to extend that to other people. We're going to forgive other people. Now that doesn't mean it's easy, and that's why I think Jesus is giving us this big challenge. But the call is to forgive everybody. So we have to think, as followers of Jesus, this is really challenging, this is really difficult, that there is never a reason not to forgive somebody. Now that's really hard. I mean, for most of us, like I feel I've had to forgive a lot of times, but I'm not sure that I've had to forgive anybody for anything really massive. Like, nobody's trying to kill me. Nobody's physically abused me. Well, I was beaten up once, but, you know, I forgive those people. But nobody close to me has done that to me. But some of us have had to forgive really big things. So this is really hard, and it can be especially hard for those big things. But most of the time, It's small forgivenesses, right? It's just letting go of things. So if somebody hurts us in at school or at work, somebody does something to us, Jesus is saying, just forgive that person and let them go. Now, what happens to the guy who doesn't forgive his fellow servant? What happens to him? How does he end up? He ends up in prison, right? He ends up in prison. And it says that, you know, so in other words, not forgiving people is kind of like a prison, right? It actually, Jesus tells the story as though God will put you in prison if you don't forgive people. And I kind of wonder if what he means by that is there's a destiny to not forgiving. And that destiny is your own prison. It's like, and I think we probably all experience that to some degree. When we don't forgive, we end up the ones hurt more. We end up losing out. It's like we're in a jail of our own resentment and bitterness and anger. And it can be really hard to get out of that jail. And we actually, over in this corner here, I'm going to explain a bit more about this in a moment. We have a model jail that you can actually go in. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. A lot of people think this is just a cardboard box with a black blanket thrown over it. But I built this, right, to specifications after a lot of archaeological research in first century Palestine jails. Okay, so. So we're going to have an opportunity in a second to actually kind of imagine ourselves forgiving people, but real people that we need to forgive. And we're going to kind of, if we want to, we can get in that jail, let go of that resentment, forgive those people, and then kind of get out of jail. Okay, so now, in Matthew 18, this chapter that story is in, and by the way, you know, as we've been going through Matthew, we've been talking about these five sermons or discourses that Jesus gave throughout the book of Matthew, and this is the fourth one, and it's all about interhuman relationships. It's all about how we relate to people, and it's important to note there's another story in there, or another explanation that Jesus gives, which is that just because we have to forgive everybody doesn't mean that we just never complain about anything or never challenge anybody. There's a passage in Matthew 18 which is worth reading, where Jesus says, if somebody hurts you and offends you, go to them and tell them that they've hurt you and try and put it right. So Jesus isn't just saying, oh, you know, anybody can do anything to you and just let it go. He's actually saying, no, certain things are worth following up with somebody and talking to them about it. But what he's saying is it would be wrong to do is just to hold on to that resentment and then go off and talk to other people about it and not deal with it directly. Okay, so it's worth reading this chapter because there's lots of good stuff in it about how to have healthy relationships, how to deal with conflict. And the first section of this chapter is really, I think, the key to the whole of it, to the whole of this message. Maybe we could look at that in the first few verses of Matthew 18. It says, at that time, the followers came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to him. He stood the child before the followers. Then he said, I tell you the truth. You must change and become like little children. If you don't do this, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The greatest person in the kingdom of heaven is the one who makes himself humble like this child. So in other words, firstly, I think that suggests that kids, those of you here who call yourselves children, who are younger, you kind of got a head start on us older folk. Because somehow you understand something about Jesus and the kingdom of God better than we do. And we need to become, as adults, somehow we need to lose some of our cynicism and perhaps our self-righteousness and all our explanations and reasons for why we are the way we are. And just kind of let go. And cease to struggle with the things that we want to hold on to, like resentment and unforgiveness, and begin to let go of these things. The heart of all this seems to be becoming like a little child, becoming humble, seeing ourselves as those that are loved and therefore can love, and letting go. And one of the early church leaders, Paul, wrote a letter to the Corinthians in which he says a very similar thing. He describes something that he calls love. And he says, love is patient, kind, love is not jealous, does not brag, doesn't try to be the greatest, in other words. It's not proud, love is not rude, it's not selfish, does not become angry easily. Love does not remember wrongs done against it. Right? So the heart of this, if you think about that, love does not remember wrongs done against it. That sounds like this story that Jesus told of forgiving again and again and again and again and not holding against somebody. Something very hard. But the root of this, the source of all this, is love. It's God's love. We can only forgive people if we love. And we can only really love if we know that we are loved, that God loves us, that God forgives us. If we could get hold of that, if we could truly understand that, we might find that it's so much easier to forgive others. It's so much easier to let go of the things we might hold against other people. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to, in a few moments' time, we're going to take communion, right? And we're going to, in communion, we experience and kind of play out, it's like us retelling another story about God's forgiveness. And if you think about it, Jesus said when he took the bread and the wine, he said that the bread, when he broke it, he said, this is my body broken for you. And then he drank the wine and had the wine and gave it to his followers. And we're going to use grape juice this morning, but he said, this is the blood of the new covenant. This is for the forgiveness of sins. So in communion, we're repeating what Jesus did, really to demonstrate that we are connected to God and that we are forgiven by God. Now, you know, communion, drinking a bit of grape juice and eating a bit of bread is kind of not the sort of thing we do every day, right? We do it once a week here at church, but it's not the sort of thing we do every day. But if you think about it like this, you know, at Christmas time or at Thanksgiving, there are certain things that we eat, right? What do we eat at Thanksgiving, for example? What's a traditional thing to eat at Thanksgiving? Turkey, yeah. What else might we eat? Anybody? Any? Stuffing, yeah. You know, there's all kinds of different food. So, and then at Christmas time, we will have our own traditions as well, right? Well, the Hebrew people, they have a tradition of every year celebrating Passover. And they did that back in Jesus' time, and they do it today. And part of that ceremony is to eat unleavened bread and to drink wine. So it was a very normal part. It was a very obvious, understandable part of that ceremony that Jesus was celebrating at that time. It's just 2,000 years later, it doesn't make quite so much sense to us. But we're doing a very traditional thing in a Hebrew sense here by taking the bread and drinking the wine. But so we're doing it to remember something. Just like at Christmas time, we have all these celebrations and traditions and gifts and that kind of thing because we want to remember something. We want to remember that Jesus was born. And we want to capture the magic of that and the beauty of that. So we celebrate it a certain way. Well, Christians, and they vary. Sometimes we do it every week. Sometimes some people do it every day. Some once a month. But either way, we act out what Jesus did when he broke the bread and drank the wine in order to remember. And we remember that God loves us, that God forgives us. And we also remember that we need to be loving and forgiving. So every time we do communion, we're celebrating God's love for us, this connection between God and humanity, and God's call for us to love one another. And so it's called communion because we're like community together. We're coming together as one people. And so it's representative. You know, hopefully we all love each other. Maybe we don't have any enemies in the room right now. But representatively, we're saying we want to be at one with everybody. We want to follow Jesus' call to forgive and love others. Okay, so here's an opportunity for us. We're going to come up and take the bread and wine. But there's an opportunity for us to kind of act out forgiveness in some way. I mentioned about this jail over here, okay? This is a model jail built very accurately. A lot of people who've studied this will think this is incredibly realistic. But it is made of cardboard, and it's a little wobbly. But here's what we can do, okay? You can crawl into this jail. By the way, I'm an adult, so adults can do this as well. You can probably stand up if you're small, but crawl into this jail, and you can kneel here. Can you still hear me? Yep. And you can just pray and ask God to help you forgive the people or the circumstances that you need to forgive. And you can just spend a moment in there and then come out of the jail. Let go of it and feel the freedom of that. Okay, so that's going to be very private. Nobody's going to know what you're praying about. But you could go into that jail. We also have these whiteboards at the side of the room with some pens, and they've got the dry erase pens. Pens are on there, one on each side. And they're facing this way because we want this to be kind of semi-private. And you could just come up and write on that whiteboard something that you need to forgive. You don't have to go into explicit details. You could just write two or three words max there. I recommend don't put any names up there. Okay, so just write down something that you know represents for you the wrong that was done for you. Okay, write it up. And then at another point in the service, during the worship time, we're going to just wipe that slate clean. Okay, as a kind of representation of letting go of these things and forgiving others. Okay, so that's going to be available for us to do while we're taking communion and singing these songs together. It's a way of us responding to God and saying, God, I want to follow you. I want to follow what Jesus is calling us to do. I want to be somebody that knows that I'm forgiven and that forgives others. Somebody who's able to forgive 70 times 7, 70 times 70 times 70, infinite number of times. I want to be able to do something that's actually very difficult because your love and your presence is in me. Now, Elliot, where's Elliot? He's going to come up. Thanks, Elliot. And I'm sorry you didn't get to play Kadeem. Sorry about that. Come up here. But he's going to lead us in a prayer. And this prayer is going to appear on the screen. So he's going to read a line, and then there's a line that we all repeat back. So, you need a microphone, don't you? Okay. Sorry about that. There you go.
Jesus, thank you for showing us how to live. As we eat this bread, may we be full of your life and spirit.
Lord, thank you for your mercy.
Jesus, thank you for your love and forgiveness. As we drink this juice, may we accept your complete forgiveness for all that we have done wrong.
Lord, thank you for your mercy.
Jesus, as we come together for this small meal, we forgive all those who have been unkind and hurtful towards us.
Lord, thank you for your mercy. Amen. Thanks, Elliot. Okay, so...